In the name of Jesus, amen. The words for this morning's brief message are words that are very special to me. They're words that I heard 1 week ago last night as some 80 candidates sat here and up here and back here receiving a charge from Peter himself to enter the holy ministry. And as I studied these words this past week, I found them to be very rich in a pastoral theology that each of us could benefit from. I found Peter to be talking about a faithful shepherd. And so, capitalizing on the theme for this week, which is shepherding, let us consider for a few moments the faithful shepherd. Listen again to these words of Peter's, for they're a charge not just to a few candidates that were sitting here, but they're a charge to each and every one of us as we contemplate and prepare for the ministry. Tend the flock of God that is your charge, not by constraint, but willingly, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not as domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And then Peter gives us reward for being faithful. He says, and when the chief shepherd, that is Jesus Christ, is manifested, you will obtain the unfading crown of glory. And so for these next few minutes, let us consider the faithful shepherd, recognizing that being faithful is a matter of having the right attitude, and it's also a matter of having the right actions. Being a faithful shepherd, that is, having a right attitude, is an attitude that comes from our Lord himself. It's not an attitude of superiority. Peter tells us not to lord it over the charge, the flock. And Jesus spoke these same words in the 20th chapter of Matthew when he told his own disciples that the Gentile rulers lorded it over themselves, and it shall not be so among you. No, the example that Jesus led in his very own ministry was not to lord it over people, but rather to serve, to be a servant to mankind. His greatest servanthood was shown on that very cross when he died for you and I. His life of servanthood was a life of service, of giving himself right there, that we might not only have no sin before our Heavenly Father, but that we might live eternally with him. So it's not an attitude of superiority that Peter commends us to have, but what is it? Jesus gives us the example. It's an attitude that comes from our Lord himself. It's an attitude that's born in baptism. It's an attitude that springs out of our faith life, a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's an attitude of compassion. Do you remember in the 9th chapter of Matthew how Jesus, as he looked upon this crowd to whom he was ministering to, looked upon them as sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. He had his greatest amount of compassion for all mankind, again, on that very cross. Compassion was the keynote to his whole ministry. Compassion is the right attitude. It's the attitude of a faithful shepherd, not of being superior or because of greater knowledge coming off like we're a little bit better than those we serve, but it's having the attitude of compassion. Peter goes on, and he says, being a faithful shepherd is also evidenced by what we do, not just by what we say, but also by what we do. In this regard, then, we have a serious set of responsibilities as we set out to be examples to our flock, that we be both pleasing and acceptable before God in all that we do. Peter tells us some things not to do. Again, he tells us not to lord it over, not to be forceful or compelling or coercive. If we remember, as shepherds led their flock, they would lead by walking out in front of them, that the flock might be able to follow. The shepherd would be out front, so the sheep would know the way. That was the very example of Jesus' own life. And yet, we have some shepherds who would stand behind the flock and yell at those sheep, at those flock. Indeed, sometimes they would take their staff and hit them over the behind. Well, that would make them jump for a little while, but it most likely would produce a fear and a distrust, the wrong motivator for tending a flock. And it's simply to bully and intimidate with a stick is just another way to intimidate with fear. Coercion is then can also be part of intimidating with fear, but it can be something as simple as two children on a playground, where one walks along, perhaps innocently bumps another, and that child falls down. Or perhaps even the child who intentionally runs and pushes another. Usually when that person is pushed, they fall. And usually when they fall, they get hurt. Do you suppose that sometimes by our words and by our actions, when we're a little bit too pushy, that we cause people to stumble and fall and get hurt? The example that our Lord gave us was not to be pushy, but to lead from out front, to be the example to the flock as he was to each of us. That example, he gave us a life of service. He ministered to people to no matter what station they were in life, no matter what state they lived in. He kept the commandments. Oh, sure, he was perfectly righteous before our Father. He kept the law perfectly for us. But in so doing, he also gave us an example by which we might live. He led by his example. And so do we tend our own flock as faithful shepherds by giving a good example. It behooves us then, as shepherds, to be the very best model, the very best example we can of a life that's worthy and respectable and pleasing to God. This is a most difficult job. Chaucer in Canterbury Tales captures for us some of the ideas that we've shared so far. He writes on the parson. He was a shepherd and no mercenary, and though he holy was and virtuous, he was to sinful men full piteous. His words were strong, but not with anger fraught, and love graciously he distinctly taught. To draw mankind to heaven by gentleness and good example was his business. But that if anyone were obstinate, whether he be of high or low estate, he would be sharply checked with altered demeanor. A better parson there was nowhere seen. He paid no court to pomps and reverence, nor spiced his life at his soul's expense. But Jesus' love, which owns no pride or pelf, he taught. But first, he followed it himself. Being a faithful shepherd is a serious responsibility. It requires our utmost care. Take heed, Paul tells the Ephesian pastors in the 20th chapter of Acts. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with the blood of his own Son. How will we care for that flock obtained by the blood of Jesus Christ? Richter gives us the sum of our responsibilities in terms of attitudes and actions when he writes this: "Had I to carry some of that blood poured forth on the cross, how carefully would I carry it? And ought I not be as careful of those souls for whom it was shed?" Being a faithful shepherd means being Christ-like. It's the attitude of compassion coupled with emulating the example of our Lord Jesus Christ that makes the faithful shepherd. Listen again to Peter's words as they charge each of us as we contemplate the ministry. "Tend the flock of God that is your charge, not by constraint, but willingly, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not as domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." And he gives us our reward. "And when the chief shepherd," that is Jesus Christ, "is manifested, you will obtain the unfading crown of glory." May God grant this to each of us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.